This morning, we're going to continue in our series, The Summer Selah, where we rest, reconnect, and renew ourselves and knowing God. And so we're going to talk about the whole topic of spiritual gifts this morning. I'm going to invite you right now to take out your handout this morning that's in your bulletin. We're actually going to start this morning with a reading from Romans 12. And we'll actually read Romans 12, verses 2 through 6. If the sound booth, if you guys could help me come up with the right scriptures on the screen, that'd be great. So what about spiritual gifts? Well, let's see what Paul writes in Romans chapter 12. He says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith." And then finally, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Let's pray. This morning, God, we want to begin to understand your plan for us. Father, that there's so much more to live for in this world than just ourselves. And Father, this morning we've gathered together to be in your presence. And Lord, we pray that your anointing would be upon all the words that come from my lips. And Father, we would just begin to understand what it means to make a difference in this world. Lord, you've shaped us each, Lord God, to be part of your grand plan to bring the Great Commission all throughout the ends of the earth. And so we pray right now that you would just be here in this place this morning. We invite your grace and your presence here with each person here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this morning I'm going to show you a couple of pictures here of a few people that you probably know. And you can say it out loud if you know who it is, if you know who it is. I think there's certain people in our lives or people that we know, especially famous people, that we sometimes wish we could kind of be like. So we'll go ahead and show you who's that person. Anybody know? Yep, that's Steph Curry, Golden State Warriors player. Who would like to be able to shoot three-pointers like him, right? Anybody like there like that? Yeah? I would love to be able to. If you could show me how to play basketball, that'd be really good too. Now the next one, some of you may disagree with a little bit, but hey, this person really doesn't stress me out. So now we got Kirk Cousins here. And anyways, we're looking forward to the season coming up and now training camps in a few weeks. Moving on, we have this guy right here. We have Mr. Jack Bauer from the TV show. 24, yep. And for those of you who might be a little bit older, you probably remember this guy. Yes, it is Mr. MacGyver. Yep, seemed like he could fix anything, he could get out of any pickle. Before there's Jack Bauer, there was MacGyver. But let's look at some real life persons here. See how many of you know who this guy is? It's Mark Zuckerberg. He's a billionaire. I'm sure a lot of us would love to have $1 billion, right? And or maybe we're saying, no, Pastor Jason, I have more humble aspirations to what or who I'd like to be. Yes, we have Mrs. Priscilla Shire on the screen there. She's a famous lady speaker. And for those of you who say, hey, I really have humble aspirations, we have, of course, Mother Teresa, for those of you who might be a little bit younger who did not know who that was. Why are all these people looked so highly upon? Well, they've all been successful, and they've all had a part in changing the world. And so this morning, we're talking about spiritual gifts. I've wrestled with this topic a lot this weekend, and you know, we can really look at the whole topic of spiritual gifts and get a little bit confused. And so this morning, I'm not going to be trying to explain everything about spiritual gifts, but I do want you to understand why spiritual gifts are important, what are spiritual gifts, and how you can know spiritual gifts in your own life. Did you know that 87% of Christians believe or don't believe they know what their spiritual gifts are? And so this is something I've had to wrestle with in my own life. And I thought I'd open with a little story here. If you knew me in my early years, I was probably the person least likely to be on the stage. I was, I'm an identical twin. I have identical, he's my brother Kevin. Some of you have probably met him before, and we look just alike. And we were both super shy. We didn't talk very well. We had different shortcomings that we dealt with. We both had a speech impediment. You probably heard of the whole idea of a twin language. Anybody ever heard of that before? Yep. So I don't know that's really true, but the way it really works, because I'm speaking from experience here, right? The way it really works is when you've had two babies who are very young, they begin to talk to each other in a way that they only understand each other. So people, like even their own parents, don't understand them. And so it took me a long time to overcome the shyness and the speech impediments. And you're wondering, well, how did Pastor Jason, how did you get up here? I mean, you look like you're very comfortable being up here. You're comfortable sharing in front of the congregation. Well, there was a lot of people in this church who really took the time to care and love on our family. If you know a little bit of our story, I experienced some personal tragedy early on in life with my mother, who passed away from cancer when I was just 13 years old. When you go through an experience like that, you know, we all have to deal with troubles and things that come against us, right? But we have choices on how we let those things shape us. And I can tell you today that this church, Cornerstone, was the church who really loved us with the grace of God, who helped us to see what it meant to be shaped to change the world. There were people who came into my life to help shape me. I think of Miss Mary Melton here. She and her sister Esther would regularly bring me to church every single Sunday. That even though my dad was often staying at home with my mother because she was very ill and she couldn't be left home by herself, she made sure and Esther made sure that I made it to church every Sunday. They practiced and showed me the faithfulness of God for everyday life. Now, there are a lot of other experiences that have shaped me and molded me, but it helped me to see that God was real. More than just words on a page, it helped me to see God's grace in everyday life. And so if you're here this morning, you're probably wondering a few things. You might be interested in this topic this morning, or you may not have any interest at all. You know, let me give you this illustration about why spiritual gifts are important. We saw some early pictures of some people that were very successful, right? People like Steph Curry. He's very talented, but that's not a spiritual gift. We see somebody like Mother Teresa. I believe she probably did function in some spiritual gifts, and God really used her that way. You know, both Mother Teresa and Steph Curry are Christians, and we can learn to practice walking out our faith in everyday life. So there's three questions I want us to answer this morning. The question of why, how, and what. How many of you, first of all, with the why question, how many of you have ever gone to a movie and you went to the movie and you went to a movie or you watched a TV show or you went to the fair or you went to a sporting event and you went there with a big smile on your face, but deep down inside you're thinking to yourself, I really don't want to be here. Anybody ever felt that way? Yep. I know, we've all felt that way. Well, this morning I want us to help you understand whether you're a believer or you're just exploring faith this morning, why spiritual gifts would be important. First of all, and second of all, I want to talk about what are spiritual gifts. I won't get into all the details of the gifts, but I will give you some steps on how you can further explore what are spiritual gifts. And then third, how do we discover spiritual gifts? If you're faithful to the leading of the Holy Spirit in everyday life, I promise you, you'll have no problem discovering your spiritual gifts. Why is that? Because God gives spiritual gifts so that we may change the world through Jesus Christ, for Jesus. Who can agree with that? Anybody agree with that this morning? Amen. So this search for significance, this search of trying to figure out why am I here on earth? Why did God place me here? What on earth am I here for? You can go all the way back to the early days in the Bible where we see Moses actually wrestle with this. Anyways, in the book there in the Exodus, you see Moses listening from God and God speaking to him. And let me go back here. All right. You see, Moses is speaking to him. He says, who am I, God? Who am I, O Lord, that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? King David himself, he was talking to the Lord and he was hearing from the prophets. And King David says, who am I, O Lord God? These are people who are normal, everyday people, just like you and I, who They were just like, I don't feel called to do this. I feel so inadequate. And the real truth about spiritual gifts is this. You know what? You are inadequate, but through Christ, you have the power to change the world through Jesus. How many of you really believe that? So here, one of the things that Google recently did, this search for the meaning of life continues to go on and on today. Google recently did a research study where they looked at what people were searching for on their search engine. What they found was that 10 billion searches are done every single month on Google. And one of the categories, one of the things that people are looking for is they're looking for the meaning of life. They're going on a search for self-discovery. Google classifies this as searching to develop and reinforce a sense of identity. See, I believe this, whether you choose to follow Christ or you choose to follow your own path, we're all on a search to try to figure out what is the meaning of life. Because even if we know Christ, that doesn't mean we really truly and understand how God has shaped us and what we're made for. How many of you want to be successful? Anybody want to be successful here? Yep. We can all be successful, you know, in this life. Most of us, it's really not that hard to be successful. But the question is, are you really truly living a significant life? Could it be that we're actually part of a picture much bigger than ourselves? Yep, it's God's plan. God has called us to shape us to change the world for Jesus. So what does God want to do with our life? What does he want to do with each one of us? Well, let's talk about that a little bit. He shaped you for changing the world. Now, I'm going to go into the outline a little bit. I'm going to have you make a couple of adjustments as we go through here. Let's talk about that. So I'm shaped to be change the world for Jesus. Under why? Spiritual gifts teach you, number one, about God's grace. This won't be on the screen here. And he teaches us about God's grace. Number two, the Lord is shaping your heart to change the world. The Lord is shaping your heart to change the world. That's at Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 again. He says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, a lot of times this whole wrestle for a search of identity, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? A lot of times it asks the questions of what and how, but not the question of why. Try researching it online. You'll find not many people are asking the question about why when it comes to God's will for our life. Maybe instead of asking the question, what is God's will for my life, ask yourself the following question. Why is God's will for my life important? Number three, Scripture says your life is being shaped to change the world. Your life is being shaped to change the world. Many of you probably know Jeremiah 29:11, right? For I have great plans for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. But did you know the context of that scripture? I learned that scripture right here in the sanctuary. I remember very vividly the Lord using that verse 20 years ago here in this sanctuary. Someone spoke that verse over me. I didn't know it at the time, but I remember meditating on that verse as a 16-year-old, and 15, 16 years old, and just thinking, wow, God really does have great plans for my life. But what I didn't understand the whole context of that time. Jeremiah is actually writing this out to a group of people who have lost everything. Completely lost everything. They've lost all their possessions. They've lost their homeland. And Jeremiah is saying, God has great plans for you. He still has plans to prosper you and to help you. Spiritual gifts, number four, reflect God's grace in light of eternity. Amen. Rick Warren says in The Purpose-Driven Life that you were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. So our spiritual gifts really help us to understand why life makes sense. What we were saved for. Why are we here? What is the meaning of life? That's something God wants all of us to do. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you were made to make a difference. And I want you to look at your other neighbor and say, God made you to make a difference. And now I want you to look at one more neighbor and say, God has made all of us to make a difference. Amen. All right. So now we've really wrestled with the question of why. I want to talk about what for a little bit. The what of spiritual gifts. So spiritual gifts, first of all, we're not talking strictly about the gift of eternal life. That is something that's very important. It is actually the starting point about spiritual gifts. because you can't have spiritual gifts and understand how they work in your life until you have a relationship with him. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So we become born again in him when we choose him. First, second of all, we're not speaking strictly, it's not the same thing as the fruit of the Spirit. Notice I use the word fruit because it is singular in that passage. Many of you probably know those fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, and you can say it with me if you know it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the fruit of the Spirit is really there to develop our character before God. But the gifts of the Spirit are really about the tools that God gives us to use in the body of Christ. And first of all, lastly, spiritual gifts are not your personality. They're not your natural talents or your passions. We're talking about something very distinctly different here. Now, if you would like to learn a little bit more about your gifts and your talents and your personality, we're actually going to be offering a Wednesday night class here at Cornerstone called Shape. You can learn and explore these things a little bit further and how your spiritual gifts tie into all those things. I do believe that God uses your personality and your talents they're multiplied through spiritual gifts because God is the one doing the work. His grace is operating in us. So let's talk a little bit about the contrast between talents and spiritual gifts. Talents are something that you're born with, but spiritual gifts are something you're born again with. Talents are for your own benefit, but spiritual gifts are primarily for the benefit of others. It's really for the building up of the body of Christ, that the body of Christ would become an agent of change in the world around us. It would become an agent of change in Shady Hill. It would become an agent of change in the Chester community and across this country and around the world in Ethiopia. Talents are self-focused. Spiritual gifts are really about others-focused. We see that talents are naturally expressed, but spiritual gifts are supernaturally expressed. They cannot be explained necessarily rationally. Talents are here on earth. They're something that you're born with. They can be expressed rationally in a natural way. But spiritual gifts are really connected to eternity. Why is that? Because they're really connected to God's great commission. So maybe you can relate to not knowing your spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are really like God's toolbox to believers. You're blessed with spiritual gifts to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Let me just tell you something, if I could be totally honest with you. I didn't go before God one day and have this vision at the altar where God scrolled all his spiritual gifts right in front of me and I saw everything. No, it just didn't work that way. I had to walk out living in faith, being obedient to him in normal everyday life to begin to discover, God, what are the gifts that you've placed in me? So that's a really true point there, and I want us to understand that. Well, let's talk a little bit about what are some of the types of spiritual gifts. Now, again, and we're not going to debate which gifts are gifts and which ones are not. We're not going to get into any of that. I want to give you some tools for further research. Motivational gifts are generally found in Romans 12. These gifts help describe the motivation of a believer, the intentions. Ministry gifts are typically leadership gifts, defined in Ephesians 4. And there's five of those: apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and prophets, so that they can do the work of the ministry. Is that what it says? Well, actually, what it says is these people help prepare God's people to do the work of the ministry. All of us. Say this out loud. We're all needed here. That's right. We to do the work of the ministry. And then the other one here, of course, is manifestation gifts. A lot of times these are known as supernatural gifts. And there's nine of these that you see listed here. I'd like to share a little bit about one of the gifts here. A few months ago, I had a buddy of mine who we've been close friends for a long time. He came to me and asked me to pray for him. They're missionaries. And he came to me and he said, Jason, could you really pray for me and my wife? We've been trying for several years now to have a baby, and for whatever reason, it's just not worked out for us. And I said, sure, I'll pray for you. And so I laid hands on him and his wife right there in the driveway, in his parents' driveway. And I went on my way, and I didn't think another thing about it. In fact, I had even forgotten the encounter had occurred. Well, a couple months later, guess what I find out? They're having a baby. And it's really great because They're going to be having a little girl here in just a few more weeks here, just a few months before Haiti and I have our little boy. And it's a lot of fun to see that. Somebody that you pray for, and supernaturally, God's blessed them. But you're here, you know, Pastor Jason, that's just coincidence. It could be coincidence, but then, you know, a lot of times we look at patterns in our life, and we can begin to discover spiritual gifts. So a few weeks ago, I was here at the altar praying with some people, one lady here in particular, and I prayed for her, and she came running to me a few weeks later and said, "Pastor Jason, I went back to the doctor this week, and my scan was clear. There's nothing there anymore. Praise God." And see, that's really, you know what that is? That's the gift of healing. But let me help us all see that the gift of healing doesn't necessarily have to go through a pastor. It doesn't have to go through an elder or a deacon. The gift of healing is designed to work in all of us, because God wants to work all things together for good. He wants to work all the body of Christ to walk in the spiritual gifts. So we've seen that happen a lot of times. Another gift I often walk in is the gift of administration. This is a gift where you're super diligent. You're really passionate about getting the details right. For me, I write a lot of emails here. If you've gotten in my emails, you know about that. And what I really do in my gift of administration is I take a lot of information and I try to make it simple for people to understand. So that's really what the gift of administration is about. Listen now, and I want you to say this out loud. Jesus is the giver of spiritual gifts. So how do you discover them? Well, let's talk about that just a little bit. Stop. Rest, reconnect, and renew your value in God. See, there was a moment even in this process for me where I really had to stop this, you know, the sermon prep and go before God and God say, how do people discover the spiritual gifts? I had to stop what I was doing, all the business of the day, and say, God, what do you want to speak in this moment? What do you want to speak to the congregation here at Cornerstone? And then a lot of times we substitute busyness in place of knowing God's grace. Instead of being with God, we decide to be busy for God. And I believe that when you walk in the spiritual gifts, there is no more striving. There's no more, the stress is removed in the way we deal with it, because we know how to tap into God's grace to guide and lead and direct our steps. Romans 12:2 gives us a foundational of understanding of how to use our spiritual gifts. Remember, it said to not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed in the renewing of our minds. When God gives you a spiritual gift, it's designed to be developed. It's not just something that's in you. God wants to begin to develop that. You know, if you're here this morning, you are going to have an opportunity to pick up a spiritual gifts test. And that leads to my next point. Initiate a plan to discover your spiritual gifts. Again, 87% of people said, believers said they had no idea what the spiritual gifts were. Imagine if 87% of your body stopped working right now. You wouldn't be living anymore. God wants the church to be alive and expressing his glory and his passion and his gospel to the ends of the earth, but not just to the ends of the earth, to Chester, to the Shady Hill Corridor, to Jeff Davis Highway. He wants to express his gifts to the Dominican Republic right now. Some of you have a gift for intercession. There's a team you can be praying for right now in Dominican Republic. We have some of our teenagers there you can be praying for. I remember the first time I went on a missions trip to Peru. I was there and, you know, I kind of knew what God was doing in my life, but I was 21. I was a little selfish. Anybody else remember being a little selfish when they were younger? Yep, yep. Hey, I'm just being honest here. No, I was pursuing God's will for my life, like that kind of thing. But anyway, so I was on a missions trip and I was really following what God wanted me to do. And so we were experiencing a lot of great outreaches there. There were hundreds of salvations happening on the trip. But there was a moment on that trip that was super significant. And so while I was there, this young lady pulled me aside and said, I need to talk to you for a minute. I was like, okay. So I go over, I walk up to her, and she said, can you help me with my English homework? And I said, well, sure. You know, I'm from the United States. I think I know a little bit about English. I can help you with that. And, you know, I had taken a course at VCU, too, so, I figured, yeah, I think I can help her with the Spanish part, but, you know, I can help her with the English part. So we're sitting there, we're just kind of sharing life and discussing things. But I noticed something in that moment. There was a fulfillment happening in me because God was igniting and bringing to life a teaching gift in me. See, when I wasn't even looking to discover my spiritual gifts, I was just walking out what God wanted me to do. God began to reveal his spiritual gifts because I was trying to walk in the grace of what he had for me that day. Listen now, faith with corresponding actions is the best pathway to discovering your spiritual gifts. What are the spiritual gifts, the tools God has placed in you to change the world? If you've never explored why God placed you here on this earth, it's time to discover how God has called you to change the world. He wants to begin changing the world through you by changing you. And that leads to our third point, practice using your spiritual gifts. You know, I think of people like Roy and Melissa, Ray over here. Roy, if you've ever been to the Radiant Life class, he definitely has the gift of teaching. And he has a way of going through the Radiant Life curriculum and helping the class understand what it means. But every small group I've ever been to, there's usually more than one thing that makes that small group vibrant. And then so we've got Melissa over here. Melissa has a real heart to serve. Service is actually a spiritual gift. And so she's there making sure everybody has what they need and everybody's comfortable. And every time you know, there's something that she doesn't have or she needs, she's sure to make sure I know about it so I can provide it to her or help her get to it. But one of the things I really love about this, the Radiant Life group, is whenever anyone is sick or they're hurting or they're going to a hospital, what does the group do? They practice sharing fellowship with one another by providing meals to each other, visiting each other, just checking in on each other to see how they're doing. And there's two people there, Roy and Melissa, who are really practicing what spiritual gifts look like. How's God calling you to be obedient and practicing your gifts? If you have the gift of serving, there's lots of ways you can serve here. I know we always have places you can serve out in the foyer and the Connection Center. You could simply stand right there at the doors to the foyer and be able to smile and say, "And now God bless you. Welcome to Cornerstone." Or maybe you're here and you would like to be able to ride the bus. Well, there's always people needed on the bus to be able to check people in. Maybe you're like the administrator like me. There's places to serve at the kids' kiosk, or you could serve at the youth ministry, just checking people in. There's all kinds of places that you can serve. Let me ask you this question. Do you truly believe you're shaped to be part of something significant? See, a lot of Christians, they know all about Christianity, and they go to church on Sunday, and they probably have their devotions, but your gifts are meant to refresh others, more than just building up your life in Christ. We're called to serve others also in the body of Christ and build up others in the faith. One of the things I had to discover early on in being a Christian was I wasn't going to just grow by seeking God and having my quiet times every day. There was something that was going to have to happen to me to really step out of what I was comfortable with to be able to share life with others. Because there were gifts in me that God wanted to reveal. That's how we discover our spiritual gifts, because we're shaped to bring Jesus into this world. This last point is pretty self-explanatory. Help others find their spiritual gifts. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, 1 Corinthians 12:1, I do not want you to be ignorant. Because there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. In all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. See, Paul sees the diversity of the gifts in the body of Christ to be a good thing. We're all supposed to use those gifts. So I want to wrap up with this thought. What's one step, just one step, that you need to take today regarding your life with Jesus, your relations with the Lord? Maybe the first step for you is really getting to know Jesus. Where are you with Jesus today? You know, you were shaped to change the world for Jesus, but maybe you just need to know Jesus. Maybe you have no context of what it means to walk with him. Or maybe you used to walk with Jesus and honestly you're saying, you know what, I don't know Jesus anymore. Or I'm not sensing his presence in my daily life. Young people, you were shaped to make a difference in this world. You were called to change the world for Jesus. That's more important than any college degree that you can get. That's more important than a job you're going to be taking 6 months from now or 5 years from now. God has called you in your sphere of influence to bring Jesus to wherever you're at. If you're retired this morning and maybe you've lived your whole life and you feel like you haven't done anything significant, I've got good news for you. God has still shaped you to change the world right where you are at today. That never changes. If you're still here, God's called you to shape the world for Jesus, even in the smallest thing that you can do. So maybe this is the weekend that you've turned your life over to Jesus on this Independence Day. Maybe it's time to be independent and free from your sin so that you can know Jesus. Number two, maybe it's time to discover or rediscover your spiritual gifts. You know, if you go out in the foyer today, you'll see a blue outline. It's going to look like this. In the Connection Center, you can actually take a spiritual gifts test. And it's just 48 questions. It's probably the simplest test I've ever found on spiritual gifts. It's not all-inclusive, but I'll at least give you a basic understanding of how God has shaped you to make a change and make a difference in the world, and how God shaped us to change the world. Don't forget, there's a Shape class coming on Wednesday nights for you to go a little deeper in that. And finally, maybe it's time to find a place to serve in the body of Christ. Where's God called you to be? To serve the body. Especially if you're in a Cornerstone's your home church, there should be a place you're connected serving others. Maybe mercy is your spiritual gift. You know, one of the things I love about my wife is she's definitely a mercy person. She definitely has a heart for the down and out, the downtrodden. I don't have that gift. That's something I need to receive and experience the grace of God through someone else. But some of you do have the gift of mercy. There's somewhere God's calling you to take that gift and share it with others. I just believe God called us all to be somewhere, just sharing his life with others. So why is God's will for my life to change the world? Well, Jesus calls us to have relationship with him, and it's in him alone. It's because of what on earth we are here for our purpose, and why we are here. That's why we're here, for Jesus Christ. God's purposes cannot be accomplished apart from knowing Jesus. That's how we discover why God's will for our life is significant, it's important. It's when we discover how we are to change the world for Jesus. And it doesn't have to be as complicated as we think it is. The issue isn't trying to be busy for God. We learn to depend on God to make me obedient for what he has clearly spoken. And when we realize our significance in Jesus, we imitate him. We dwell on things that are pure and holy. We don't have to be entertained anymore to try to find meaning in life. We don't have to run to the sinful lifestyle anymore, because our significance is found in knowing Jesus. He's our guiding rudder. He's the one that directs our steps. We live in step with the Spirit because we know his significance in our heart. We prioritize significant relationships over success. We make the most of every opportunity. Let's pray. Lord, walking in your plans and knowing your will for our lives doesn't have to be complicated. But it does start, Lord, with having a relationship with you. With all heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I believe that there would be some of you this morning who would say, Pastor Jason, I've come to church this morning, and I really don't have a relationship with Jesus. I've never trusted in him. It says in Scripture just to be able to confess our sins to him and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. If you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor Jason, I'd like to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, or I would like to renew my heart, renew my commitment to follow Jesus with my heart, mind, will, and emotions. If that's you this morning, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand and look up at me. I'd like to pray with you. Anyone here? Amen. 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 Lord, I just thank you for each person here who's raised their hands. Father, that you would begin today. They've confessed their need for you this morning to invite your grace to come in and bring a time of refreshing in them. Lord, they've made a commitment this morning to trust you as Savior. Lord, I pray that they would be surrounded with people who would point them to the way of Christ, and they would truly find the life worth living in you. For the others of you this morning, you'd say, you know, Pastor Jason, I've lived a long time, or I feel like I've lived for a long time not knowing my life purpose, not knowing why I'm here. not knowing if all the mistakes I made in the past have kept me from finding God's will in my life. The Lord wants you to know that he is faithful in every circumstance. The Lord wants you to know that he will redeem the past. He can turn your scars into stars, that you would know what it means to have a relationship with him and be significant. So whether you're fresh out of high school or maybe you're still in school and you feel like your life is meaningless, or you've lived many, many years and you feel like there's nothing to do with your life anymore, you would just say, Pastor Jason, I really need to discover what it means to live a significant life, to discover what it means to change the world through him. If you're here this morning, you'd say, Pastor Jason, I need you to pray for me to find my value in knowing Jesus again. If that's you this morning, I invite you to raise your hand. Anybody here? Amen. Amen. Father, I just thank you that in this life, Lord, there are a lot of temporary things that happen. There's a lot of troubles we struggle with. But, Father, with knowing you, Father, we can find significance. And so I just pray for those who have raised their hands this morning. Will you help them to know that your grace is sufficient exactly where they are? Thank you, Lord Jesus. I invite you all to stand this morning. You know, really the best pathway of walking with the Lord, it really does start with your relationship with him. And, you know, don't rush through this week. This is a holiday weekend. It's an opportunity for you to stop and rest and reconnect and be renewed in the grace of God. And so don't rush through this weekend with busyness or all the things that you want to do. Take some time this weekend to really discover how has God created you and shaped you. You can discover more about your shape by picking up one of the forms in the Connection Center. And there's numerous opportunities to do that. Also, the blue form, you can sign up on your Wednesday night card for the SHAPE classes coming up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for each person here. Pray, bless them and keep them as they go about their day. Let them know your will and walk in it in everyday life as we pray the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Have a great 4th of July, and we'll see you here Wednesday night for our worship and prayer night.